This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome to Indie Comic Book Noise 383. This is the comic book podcast sponsored by no one. Here we talk about all comic-related events, non-Big Two. Everything from Image to Boom, and all steps in between. Sadly for the listener, we are Super Steve-less, as the bunker has been under attack and has lost power. Hopefully we'll be able to reestablish connection with him from his battles in the future. But in the interim, you have myself, Andrew the LA Rabbit, at Twitter, LA_Rabbit1. WWX Kev on Twitter, there, Whirlwind X up there in Canada. Say hi, Kevin.
Who keeps on attacking Super Steve? Not Silver Steve.
And lastly, the Ottawa Otter, Phil.
Who's this Ottawa Otter guy? I don't know him. He doesn't exist.
Dialing in from the nation's capital.
God damn it.
And he's me and my sloth on Twitter. The podcast exists at Indie Comic Book N because, you know, we have a Facebook fan page. I'm not on Facebook, but I understand you can visit it and see things.
Sort of.
And I think that's it for social media. You can find us on the internet, obviously. If you're listening to this podcast, you found this podcast, so I shouldn't need to direct you to where you found this podcast, unless you're in some sort of chronal time warp where you don't know how you have the podcast, but you're listening to it.
Wow, that got kind of confusing there for a second.
Can you give us an example?
Well, say you're the Terminator and you went back in time to listen
Well,
to
A, that means I arrived with no clothes, so my wang is just hanging out. Go on.
We're going to end that.
I was going to say someone's broadcasting these transmissions into outer space, and it hits another planet in 50 years. And then they get so excited by what they hear, they try to go to Earth to see it in person. But by the time they get here, we're 50 years older.
Your voice put me to sleep.
That seems a likely scenario.
Might be a bit of an asshole today, just spoiler warning.
Well, you wouldn't be, Phil, if you were.
No.
Well, I wanted to start off a little bit of chatter with some con talk.
Nice.
Yes, you're back to the cons.
Because you barely ever go to cons.
So who did you rip off this time?
This is your first comic one in a while, though, right?
I think it might be my first one
this year
since Long Beach Expo, maybe? This is a pretty big one. This is a WonderCon.
Okay, yeah.
And WonderCon is put on by the CCI folks who do the San Diego Comic Convention.
Yeah, I heard there were some big announcements there.
And WonderCon originally started in San Francisco, moved down to Anaheim, and they did a one-year flirtation in the Los Angeles Convention Center. And it was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I just went Friday and Saturday due to other commitments.
Is it big crowds like San Diego?
It's getting there. It's I would say Anime Expo at the Convention Center has a leg up on them. Mm-hmm. But I would think there were more people there than a kamikaze. Mm-hmm. But I'm always suspicious of their numbers. This convention's wonderful introduction to the West Coast, or at least the southern part of the West Coast, was the RFID badges. The weekend before in San Jose, the inaugural San Jose one that Steve Wozniak bought, they also had these, but I didn't go up there for that. I didn't think it was worth the drive. I'm not a big Back to the Future fan. That was their big reunion panel. Yeah, it's just not. I mean, it's a fine movie. I just don't fetishize it. I have enough.
Well, I don't masturbate to it, but I like it.
Yeah, please. You want to drop whatever it was, $5 for a photo with the three of them? Well, like I said, you know, I read stupid old comics, so we all have our weaknesses. But this is my first time dealing with that. So for those of you that don't know, there are readers outside the show floor that you tap your badge to go in and out. And then in front of the panel rooms, to get to the panels, they're also the same thing. We're going to check in and out. And I was pretty nervous, but it went fairly smooth. Except when you were in one place, there was a hesitancy, even though it wasn't a lot to deal with. You just didn't feel like going to a panel, as many panels, because it's like, I don't want to tap in and tap out. Have you guys been to shows with the RFID yet?
Nope.
No. So what happens? Like, jail bars come down and like they string you up by your feet if you walk through, you know, tap out or something?
It's supposed to, there are stanchions you walk through, very much like feed cattle going to slaughter. And if you tap it against it, the light either goes green or red. And purportedly, security is supposed to stop you if you don't tap, or if it's red. I heard rumor, like, the one time I went through, one of the stanchions wasn't working. They were just directing people to the other two. And then, but friends of mine said that they saw that they were just letting people in sometimes due to the overwhelming crowd. I mean, they would tap and it would be red. They would still let them in. You were supposed to go get your badge reset or whatever, but I think the logistics of the situation eliminated that. I have a feeling it's supposed to stop counterfeit. And I think it's more of the image of that, you know, like if you just photocopy something or bring in a paper badge, it's not going to work.
Well, they switched over to wristbands here where you have to put them on before you get in. And then it's like, you're supposed to put them on securely so you can never take them off for 4 days. And then people are like, I got to go to work. I can't be with this on like for 4 days if they're going to go like Friday and Sunday or whatever.
I'm with you. I hate that because then the thing is kind of, you know, you take a shower, especially if they're not the quality, if they're the papery wristbands and they're kind of cheap. The plastic ones at least last a little bit longer. But, yeah, so that part was, and I think that's going to be the new normal. But they were quick to announce, even before the thing started, I picked up badges on Thursday. In the program guide, they were announcing they're already back to Anaheim. Like, this was a one-year experiment. Because the big problem is they have this huge theater. It's now the Microsoft Theater, but it used to be the Nokia. I think maybe like American Idol or some of them shows did their finales there. But it's on the in that section of LA, you have the convention center, and then next to it, immediately up the street, there's the Staples Center, and then the LA Live Microsoft Theater is over that. So if you wanted to go to anything there, you had to leave the convention center, walk around the Staples, which is, you know, it's where basketball and hockey teams play, so it's a big stadium, and then go through a metal detector and go through all this nonsense for the big theater. So you can guess I didn't see anything in that. It would have had to have been pretty special, because especially you never know the line. Like, say you go through that and then you get there and there's a huge line, like, blah. Once, in fact, in 2 days I went to like a panel and a half. That's how little I went, because I just was kind of apprehensive about it. I went to the IDW panel, did the whole thing, for those of you that follow me on Twitter, because I was interested in the artist edition. They don't do the artist edition panels anymore. They just put it into the whole IDW panel.
Because it was just like old men going, Ditko, give me some Ditko over here.
Hey, have you been to those panels?
There's a dirty joke in there somewhere.
No, I've been to like an IDW sort of panel where they were talking about artist editions.
Have you seen me asking about Ditko? Is that why you know? No, so the big one is the Thor, the Kirby Thor. But what's special about it is it's on the twice up, the extra big boards. So that's going to be the first Kirby Artist Edition on the bigger boards. For those of you that don't know, you know, it's like, what is it, 11 by 17 or something, the modern board. But in the Golden Age up into the Silver Age, depending on the artist, sometime in the late 60s, they switched to that. It used to be even larger boards. So some of those older Artist Editions are under the big size, but this is the first Kirby on the big size. So I'm pretty stoked for that. And they also have the Al Williamson Star Wars Artist Edition coming out, which will cover, I think, the Empire Strikes Back era. And then they also announced there's a DC Best of War comics, because which will have, I'm sure, a ton of Joe Kubert, because I think Wally Wood, Joe Kubert, and Kirby might be the three most reproduced artists, if I had to guess.
But every Star Wars one they put out, you're going to buy it.
For sure. I mean, the previous one was more my sweet spot, but what I didn't realize they had put out, which I had to buy right then, was those portfolio editions. I've discussed them before. They're not bound, but they're the same concept of the reproduction, but they usually just don't have enough to bind them. So it's, 20 pages or so. But they had a Wally Wood Thunder Agents Artist Edition portfolio. Super Steve will be sad he missed it. But some of you may guess why I picked it up, and that is because two of the pages were penciled by Steve Ditko.
Oh, so they did come through.
Yes. So I was pretty fired up about, and I told Scott Dunbeer afterwards, I'm like, all you had to say was there were Ditko pages, and I would have bought that thing, man. Like, that's all it took. So, yeah, there's pages from Dynamo number 1, page 5, and page 10 are Steve Ditko pencils, inks by Wally Wood. So it's interesting because for a lot of Ditko's work, especially for Marvel, those Spider-Men, he was his own inker. So it's always interesting to see him inked over someone else. But there were a lot of big, some decent artists. Frank Avila was there. I know Phil's a big fan.
I am, sort of, sometimes.
After life is coming back.
Yeah, he said, well, he was there. I brought my Black Beetle. Yeah.
Did you say, where's Phil's fucking zombie Archie shit?
No, I brought my Black Beetle hardcover to have him sign it. And
that's cool. Yeah.
An old Dark Shadows comic that he did, because that's where I first discovered him, was that Dark Shadows comic from Dynamite. But with cons now, especially as they get big, the one thing that really bothers me is it's become a real have not. Like, if you just have a regular badge like I had, there's some things you just can't get to. Because the people that have exhibitor badges or what can get in early. So if there are exclusives or some signing opportunities or stuff, it's really hard because those people are already on the floor before you can get there.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times they have another badge, so they'll just switch out their exhibitor badge if it's a problem. We see that at San Diego, too. It just feels, I don't think there's anything you can do about it. It just kind of drives me crazy that, like, these experiences are just not for everybody anymore. I don't know if you guys ever hunt stuff down, but it made it kind of, there might be limited signing or, like I said, exclusives. Because some of the DC Comics had a whole bunch of exclusive Dark Knight 3 covers. And I wasn't that interested in those, but, the line was always around the block because the booth was right next to it. Because it's DC's big show. Marvel doesn't show, but DC has a big booth.
Well, isn't DC, like, right there now? Like, all their offices and everything?
Yeah, but, Marvel's got... It's not like Disney isn't in Southern California. So the whole... But I liked it. The floor is big, and I spent most of the 2 days there. A lot of the show is also just seeing your friends, people you haven't seen in a while, and, going out to lunch or dinner with them and hanging out. I really did... Russell Dodderman was there, so I had him sign one of my Superbia issues. Because, I like that series he did.
I still haven't tried that. I've wanted to try that one for a long time now.
Well, it's good because it's only I think it's 12, maybe 15. Whatever it is, it's done because he now is doing the Marvel stuff. So, it's a fixed amount. I think it's 2 trades, maybe 3 at most. So that's from Boom Comics.
Mm-hmm. But it was originally under a different print, wasn't it?
The first. No, that was Boom.
Always Boom? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then I went to the panel I caught the end of. I met some friends at the end of the Jim Lee one. Because it's always fun to watch him kind of sketch while he answers questions. And then he gives the sketches away at the end. And this one, you had to have a special ticket from the Batman v Superman movie.
I've never heard him talk. Is he an interesting, he's interesting when he has his discussions?
I always find it fascinating when people can draw and talk at the same time.
That's true, too, eh? You'd think that'd be really hard.
Because he's got, they put it on the projector. So he's drawn on the table and it's projected on the screen and he can just, he stops sometimes to look at people, but it's a lot of banter. I remember the one year I really liked, he used to be before the Fables panel at San Diego. So my wife liked going to the Fables panel. So we would get to the Jim Lee panel to get good seats. And so Fables would be next. And I remember one time he answers questions about how to do art and he talked, the artist had trouble doing eyes and he gave his little hint about doing the little dots. And ever since then, every time I look at Jim Lee, I see the little dots.
It sounds like the sketch duel panels we get up here.
Yeah, there was some, I didn't Saturday I was gonna go to Quick Draw, but we had an early lunch with some Parks and Cons on Twitter.
McGraw?
Marshall. It's what that is it's a Sergio Aragonés, usually Scott Shaw, and then a third artist. One time it's in San Diego too. One time it was Neil Adams. I don't remember who it was this year. And then it's moderated by Mark Evanier. Mm-hmm. And he just throws out humorous suggestions, and then the three people sketch funny interpretations of it. So, and Sergio is not only funny, but he is by far and away the fastest artist ever. Like, the other guys are quick, but he is about twice as fast as they are. So all those years of working with Mad, always good to see Sergio in a show too. I'll be sad if he ever stops going to these things. But it was a pretty good, Annie Wu was there, and she had a huge line. And Jason Fabok, those were the two artists that I'm not super familiar with, but that were seemed to be kind of the big popular ones there.
I guess I'm familiar with one of them, but not the other so much. Like, I know, like, sometimes you just know of certain people, but you don't read their books.
Right. Oh, I mean, I've heard the names. I just know. I don't read their books is what I guess I should say. But they did the big DC announcement was the rebirth thing. I did not go to it.
Why not?
Because, well, with that stuff, a lot of times I feel like it's better just to catch it rather than
Marvel
wait.
Marvel and DC don't need to because they always talk about stuff that comes out in the previews a week later. Like for yes. Fan Expo, it's right when we get back, there's a preview with everything they talked about.
Yeah, and you also, I think you had the line up at, what, 7 a.m. or something to get some into it?
And it's just like, in 5 minutes, it's going to be on every website. You know, you can just
five minutes. It was live streaming on YouTube.
Well, yeah, that's just it. You can watch videos. You can watch whatever you want now.
Yeah, so there's no, I mean,
you don't need to go to the con.
Be there. But also, I'm really less into this. Sometimes I get tired of kind of the big hype, and like I'm more interested in what's actually happening and not what's going to happen in 3 months when the comic stores get them in stock.
Yeah, and every Valiant panel seems to be on Periscope.
Yeah, and the Valiant guy, they always have a nice booth there. They're always the really good. A friend of mine, Only the Valiant, Sean, from that podcast. I always go and he's one of the people we have dinner with. Although I think that podcast might be wrapping up. I don't know.
Well, the main one, like with all the guys wrapped up, but there's like another sideshow that is basically all the feed now where they cover like the weekly Valiant books every week.
Yeah, so Sean's a good guy, so yeah. I always see him. And then he likes the Valiant guys, so we always go by there. Zenoscope was there, Phil.
Yeah, nice. I almost picked up Zenoscope book today, but I didn't. It would have been my first one in a long time.
Boom, IDW. Yeah, it's kind of weird with all those companies. Aspen, obviously, because they're local. It is always shocking, like no more. Every other company, it seems like. Except for, and then
I find IDW is turning into the new Dynamite. I find
what
a little bit.
What does that mean?
Take it as you will. You know my thoughts on Dynamite.
Yeah, but Dynamite's not the same as exactly the same as they were a few years ago.
Mm-mm.
So
I used to collect a lot of Dynamite.
I'm still down with IDW. I just their licensed stuff doesn't.
That's, well, part of the problem is, yeah, they get a lot of licensed stuff now.
But I mean, it's good. I mean, it makes money. That was a lot of the panel they were talking about.
Yeah, that must float their boat.
And Back Kevin to the will Future be getting that comics.
One. I know it.
What?
Strawberry Shortcake. I didn't like the Back to the first issue too much.
No.
And there's a lot of Turtle books coming out, too.
Yeah, because the new movie, I guess. Eh?
I guess those are doing well. Yeah, it just seemed like there was a lot. I mean, they have their small selection of their own books, but like ROM is a licensed book, Micronauts is a licensed book.
That's right. But, hey, they have ROM coming out soon.
That's not your typical book, I don't think, though. Like, that's different than your, like, Turtles. Like, I would put that in a different, like, even though it would be licensed, that's like in a separate category for me.
Well, they got Godzilla. That's a license.
I mean,
you put that in that camp. So, but for me, a lot of it's the artist edition.
Yeah.
I did finally look at some of the Graffiti does the DC artist editions. I almost bought the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but I already dropped enough money on the Wally Wood portfolio. But I haven't bought any of those. I don't know if you guys have. They've done a few of the Batman books. And have you seen those ones? They're basically artist editions, but for DC.
No.
No, I don't know if why I haven't really noticed those.
Yeah, I if they hadn't had the booth there, I haven't heard anyone talking about them. Yeah. They just had copies there because the Dark Knight Returns is the big one they're coming out with.
But I guess the regular, like, big giant boxes and super size like Wally Wood EC, like you can't, like you trip over them, you're like, whoa, like those are very visible.
Well, also just seems like there's more chatter about that. Yeah. I don't, for some reason I haven't heard. In fact, I shot out to some of my friends and I think on Twitter I was like, hey, and one or two people had one of the Batman ones and that was it. Where for a while those IDW ones, you know, they were pretty, you'd see photos of them and people talking about them a lot. I wonder if DC just got in kind of too late.
Yeah, I don't know. Or I guess it's not really news since like everyone's doing them now. Like those types of things. Just like Image is like, oh yeah, this is, I forget what they call theirs, but it seems like everyone's in on that game.
Yeah, and Image had, so they brought Brubaker in. He was signing a bunch of stuff. I didn't really get in a lot of those big lines for signing stuff. It wasn't my time for that. It was a lot of just seeing what was there because it's a fun show. And it was just weird being in a place where they're only going to be for 1 year. So you didn't know how lines were going to be or the flow or anything. It's a weird show that way. Every time, I don't know, have you guys been to shows that have moved or anything?
Yeah, but due to other circumstances, like still within the same city, but it sort of went from like an exhibition center to like a hotel and different things like that. Like that wasn't a good sign when you sort of start out at a hotel and then you like move into like a convention center and then you're back to a hotel. Like, I don't know what that says.
That doesn't sound.
I haven't been to very many cons myself. Only like four, maybe. That's it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I was doing like 3 cons a year. I mean, out of town cons. Like now I might be able to do like 5 cons a year, but some of those are local based. So.
Well, so you're working. You're selling your books.
Yeah, I know.
Good job for you.
Those friggin' hockey ones don't count.
What? They have hockey cons?
Like those hockey card cons or whatever the fuck you do go to sometimes.
No. Yeah, remember the year Fan Expo did the hockey cards? And they're like, yeah, you can buy a ticket to get in just for the hockey cards for $10. And they were trying to really expand. And then the next year, no more hockey cards. I guess it didn't go over well.
Well, they have a fair number of mashups down here. The Frankensons is like twice a week and it's kind of a bit, just a lot of vendors, but they do themed weeks. And sometimes it'll be a sports theme where they'll bring in a bunch of ball players of some sort or another to sign cards. But sometimes, once in a while, they'll bring in Stan Lee or something, too. So it's always a weird mix. But this WonderCon, yeah, the other thing is the panels. I mean, there would have been stuff I would have went to, but there was nothing that really grabbed me. I guess I would have been some of the spotlights, but
something unique.
I just felt like, I like these guys, but I don't know that a Bendis spotlight's going to give me a lot.
Yeah, I went to something like that like years ago.
Like I said, if they don't draw, that's the one thing about the Jim Lee is I knew he would have some drawings and cool sketches, and he did a Wonder Woman and a Batman and a few others. And for all, sometimes I get tired of the Jim Lee school, but I still like to watch him sketch.
Oh.
Phil just passed out.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right, maybe we need to. But anyways, next year WonderCon is back in Anaheim. I will be, presumably, if I can get in, going back down there. L.A. was geographically more convenient, but there's something about the Anaheim location that's just nicer than the downtown L.A. one. So and maybe if you listen to my sister podcast, Marvel Noise, that we appear on, I'll tell my story about JRJR from the podcast, from the show. A little teaser. If we ever record Marvel Noise again, that is.
Is he from the show Dallas? Sounds familiar.
So what's your next show then, Andrew?
My next show is
Disney related.
Is it San Diego? Can't be.
No.
No.
Now in San Diego, right? Is there?
I
have a bunch of Disney stuff, but that doesn't really count.
I knew it.
Also, I was gonna.
You're right.
You must have like four cons between now and.
Well, that's not true because the Disney stuff has all the Marvel stuff now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess you can cover that for Marvel.
But I've also stopped going to a lot of the local dirt shows because I don't collect like C-level autographs. There's nothing wrong with it, just not my thing. Mm-hmm. So like. Guy that played monster in some horror movie, I don't need to get, and I don't really do a lot of long box diving. If I need to buy stuff, it's almost always online.
Me neither. I mean, there are good deals at the big shows. It's more when you think of something now that you want, then you'll go hunt it. But
yeah,
I don't go diving anymore either.
I love the bin dive. Love the bin dive.
I used to too, but it's just I have so much now. Like, what do I, you know? Yeah. Like
I'm in downsize mode and. At those shows, there's very few local creators, and they're usually ones I see anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the things I'm most likely to buy are like the cheap, the big, if I am going to break down, it's going to be like an artist edition or like I just bought the Alias trades, but they had the omnibus there for $40. I'm like, ugh. And I just bought those trades.
Yeah.
But those kind of things where it's like a good, you know. But yeah, so I've kind of cut back on a bunch of. I mean, there's still some I would go to, but the real small shows, I think I might be kind of. There just isn't a way a little bit. And also, like I said, I'm not. I only bought a handful of books at the show. I'm really trying to be better about things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found selling some books makes me want to buy some.
Yeah, I don't think you're solving your problem there, Kevin.
Books. Like, I
wish I could sell. I don't think it would work.
$3 books? I'm thinking, yeah, I could buy some $3.
I would do the same thing, though, Kevin. I would sell my books to dwindle my collection just to buy more.
But I'm thinking, well, I could do a couple runs or something, like of some, you know.
It's true, though, because then you could fine-tune your collection to just your favorite stuff.
Yeah, like I'm thinking a complete Daredevil run, or if I see some. There's always those guys that have some, like, books that are aren't in the greatest shape, but they're not dollar books. They're like
that's all right. If it's readable,
yeah. So I'm thinking, yeah, I could do something like that, like fine tune that.
Yeah, I don't bag and board my comics. I don't give a fuck. I just pile them and stick them in boxes. And
well, since you're putting nails and everything through your original artwork, I'm not surprised.
Or I tape them.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I frame them though. I've grown up a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a weird, I've framed and hung my first, normally they sit in portfolios, but I finally framed
that's what
my,
I figured, yeah, so just
my page it. One from Comic Book Comics number 0, that I got.
That's a good series. I actually did a presentation to people with Comic Book Comics as my background.
For school?
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Nice. So that was like, so you could finish... So have you finished middle school then, Kevin?
He still hangs out there.
It's because it's fun.
All right. Yeah, so who's got a do we do a proper book review? Does someone have Phil? You must have something that you're chatting about.
This is an all con special.
Oh, am I supposed to talk about my plans for TCAF or something?
No, TCAF again already.
It's in May. It's not on Mother's Day weekend this time.
Well, I got something that me and Kevin would probably. This is something Kevin was probably going to review, but I was like, no, fuck that. I'm going to email my list for the first time and cut him off. A little bit of cock blocking, you know?
Because I think it's comic book blocking, but yes.
Yeah, so this is obviously a Valiant book, because if people know Kevin, they know.
Oh, people are going to be like, another Valiant book again?
Now, normally, I only buy Valiant in trades. But I just happened to, when normally I wouldn't read the blurb or whatever that explains what it is in the previews or whatever, I read it and I was like, okay, I got to get this. And it's the first annual that this Valiant has put out. And it's Bloodshot Reborn number 1. And this is also my first Bloodshot since Lemire has taken over.
Wow.
But the reason why...
If I remember correctly, you weren't fans of the little Bloodshot character, Phil.
Well, that will be in here. You'll see.
The Squirt Verse.
Let's not jump ahead.
Yeah, so anyway, the reason why this is attracting me so much, because it's the Bloodshot story I never knew I wanted. But it's the ultimate Bloodshot story for me. Basically, it's a Friday the 13th homage with Bloodshot. So it's like him having to take down the Jason character.
It's not just Silver Lake Camp. I don't even know those movies like super well, but as soon as it started, I'm like, oh, I know where we're going. And it was just funny, like knowing like all that stuff. And then all of a sudden it turns into like a Weapon X story.
Yeah. It was, the art's amazing too by, do you know who it's by?
Kano.
Yeah.
You don't think of Mortal Kombat?
The art's amazing. And yeah, like Kevin says, there's some funny parts in it, but basically it's him just like a Friday the 13th movie. The kids are about to fuck in the barn. And then, they see a guy in the shadow and it's Bloodshot. And he's like, basically he's like fighting the Jason type character and getting his ass kicked and all that. And the reason why Kevin says it turns to a Weapon X one is because the way they tied it in, which I thought was really cool, is, they made it, him part of the Nanite program, like the Rising Spirit, which is just like Weapon X. It's like their version of Weapon X.
Yeah, but so they even have like
the Bloodshot type people.
Yeah, they have a splash where the guy is like in the tank with all those things sticking out of him and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with his legs blown off and everything. So that's why he did the project. But basically he went all like brain dead kind of. So he's like a big dumb dude now that just is at like in the forest. But he didn't actually like kill anyone. They never really explain if people ever died or not. Like it's a little weird. Like it got a little... the beginning was amazing where he was fighting him and everything, like, and it was just like Friday the 13th, but yeah, at the end was cool too, but it kind of went soft, I thought, at the end. But that was like a 25-page story, I think. And this is an expensive issue. Like, American, it was $6.
Yeah, 64 pages, though.
Supposedly 64 pages. I know what they fucking do. They count the fucking ads and shit. There's too much of that shit. We gotta stop paying for that. Speak with your wallet. I got to stop buying them because I bought another one this week. The one I complained about on the podcast last time. Remember I was complaining about the stupid Ghostbusters one because of the backup? I bought the stupid Ninja Turtles one this week.
What's wrong? Bill's holding the line at buying whatever he wants.
Yeah. So yeah, the second story is my first try into the Squirtverse, which I thought was... retarded idea when Kevin was talking about it. Like, did not fit in with Bloodshot. Then I read the story and I'm like, I was totally right. This Squirtverse is so... I just hate it. Like, I can't even express my hate for it like so much. Like, I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was dumb. It's like, I don't know if he's like the Deadpool of the Bloodshot universe now, the stupid little cartoon guy just yelling stupid lines about squirting and stuff.
This wasn't like the other stuff. Like there wasn't any like
good stuff.
This like the squirt good. Stuff was different. Like I wouldn't say this is like the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the part that makes it not the same thing is probably the only part I liked about it. How it was like a take on like one of the DC's Infinity Crisis.
It was totally like a parody of Marvel and DC. Well, the story is called The Secret Convergence War of Infinite Squirts. So that kind of gives you an idea what they're doing.
A dumb joke kind of comic. I don't know. I just really did not enjoy that. And then the second story is one based on the Jason type dude in the first story. This art is horrendous. Like it's pointless. You're just looking at blotches of colors. Like it's just such of a waste of a story. And it's just boring. Like, it's just him living in the woods a bit, just this senseless, dumb dialogue story. So far, I bought this for one story.
Apparently, Phil has no feeling in him. He has no heart.
You're telling me you like that Jacob story?
I thought it was a decent story.
Really?
Yeah.
I would say Kevin is saying he likes it.
Wow. And then why don't you tell us about the last story?
About the last story?
I couldn't even read it.
I would say the last story is definitely
I love the art,
an acquired taste. Like they let some. Like, do you have your Lemire story? Which
is awesome.
Like, he used to be like the indie guy, but now I guess you could say he's like the mainstream guy in here.
Yeah.
Then you have the Squirt story, which is like, okay, it's going a little
different.
Like, and then as you get towards the back of the book, it's like indie creators, and they're just doing whatever they want. Like, you have the guy from Copra, Fife, and then you have Benjamin Mara. He's doing the artwork in the concept. And if you know anything about his work, like, it's not going to appeal to everyone.
No, but like I say, it's neat, though. Like, it does have a very indie look.
Yeah.
And almost kind of like a 70s look, maybe. Is that right?
Yeah, 60s or 70s, yeah. Kind of like weird retro, goofy type of story. It kind of reminds me of those covers of, what was it, that Alan Moore image book, like 1963? Or, like, it's more along the lines of that kind of craziness. Where...
Can you tell me what the story was?
As some villains have captured Bloodshot, and they're like, they want to open this whole portal type of thing. And then the dudes that come through end up taking Bloodshot instead of this other, like, cult worshiper person. They're like, no, I want it to be the one. And then Bloodshot goes over into that realm, and he fights, pretty much.
It's that many pages just for that?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it's sort of like a humorous type of thing,
mm-hmm.
in a way. And then, you know, they're like, oh, once we go back to the other universe with Bloodshot, it's like, we can do all this stuff. And then Bloodshot's like, not having that.
Now that I think of it, though, even though I don't like the stories, this is the type of more expensive book that's worth it, though. Because there's not that many ads flipping through it. And you do get a lot of story in this.
And there's even a couple pinups in the back.
Yeah.
So did you like the Squirtverse story, Kevin?
Of course you did.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. Like, I think I enjoyed the Squirtverse stuff more before, but that was because, like, you had Kay talking to him on one side and Blood Squirt on the other side, and you could tell that they were, like, totally, like, messing with his head, like, kill, 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 or trying to get him to do things, and he was like, I'm going mad! And then you would see these crazy trips into his head or the nanites or whatever was going on.
How many issues is it in about?
The Squirtverse stuff?
Yeah, like, how many times does it show up in the main series?
Maybe the first 5 or 6 issues?
It's a lot.
Yeah, but it's not all the time. And the thing... Two is, like, there was an interesting thing where the artwork was, like, really detailed and realistic, and all of a sudden, like, this cartoon character that totally didn't match the style of the book all of a sudden showed up, so it was really jarring. But the artwork here is just all the same, so it doesn't have that same feeling at all. But this is more of them just, like, goofing around and joking, because it even ends with... like, 8 panels of them in the Valiant offices, and they're just like, we can't publish this! So they have a little bit of fun with themselves there too. So that's always good. I think when a company doesn't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, no, for sure. Oh, and by the way, Andrew, Ginger Dead Man number 2 came out, and it was shitty also. And I have not learned my lesson, and I am going to pick up number 3.
You do make me laugh because you're always railing against, and then when it turns out you actually do buy whatever.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Phil, you're the comic book fan everybody loves, but I don't know if you guys remember. I reviewed a little mini comic, Zara by Alex Chung and Dana Obera. It was on Tumblr, like the whole thing. Okay. I have a print copy, but he posted the whole because it was just a short comic.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't that good.
Yeah, yeah. I had a really, Alex gave me, he has another little preview book, but this one is a split book, and one of the stories is Zara and the Armor of Kronos, which is coming out, which is, again, Alex Chung and Dana Obera, coming in 2016, so that one was like a little file. What I like is it's also that, like, digest size, and it's a split book. He's got 2 books. His other one is Louis Joyce, and that's Astral. So I wanted to thank Alex for handing this to me and saying that, you know, you can still go to his Tumblr and see the first Zara comic, and the art is really sharp. And it's kind of this mystical land, and this one's going to be the little blurb on the inside is what happens when you have a fight with a friend, never speak to each other for years. What would you do if they walk back into your life? Or what would you do when you discover they've been messing with the time stream? So if you remember, that was like the magic one where she was returning his stuff.
Yeah.
Well, now it's taking a more serious tone and you're going to see them going. And then Astral is Eron and Pearl are the defenders of the world. Sir Lassarar and deeply in love to prevent war from spreading to other worlds. Perla is assigned to train other planets to defend themselves against Sinistor's forces, while Eron must stay to protect his homeworld. The relationship is strained. Can they deal with war in a long-distance relationship? So it's the two of them, you know, sort of, I guess maybe even reminiscent of love in sci-fi in a saga way, you might say. Although from five pages, it's a little bit tough to extrapolate too much from it.
How do you spell the title of the name? Or the...
Z-A-Y-R-A is the one. Like I said, if you go to Alex H. Chung's Tumblr, I reviewed this book in the first one, but it's the same art.
Here we theme. Go. That is nice art. I like that.
Yeah. So they got a full, like a longer story coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The other one looks nice too. I just know that I'd reviewed that one, so it made it easier. Yeah, like a point of reference for everybody. So you see what you're getting. And it's always nice. I like this new model where people put stuff out for free. I mean, it's kind of hard on them, but it makes you
get the word out though.
Yeah. We also avoid the fill trap, like buying this.
Hey, thing. I'll buy people's shitty comics. Don't worry about that. Just get them in front of me. Watch me get all these emails now.
Yeah, remember that's Phil saying all your comics are shitty, folks.
Yeah, send all your comics to Phil.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to Alex and his creators, and I'm excited. Thanks for that. Ash can look forward to reading the book.
Yeah, it looks good.
So I was surprised when I found two things in the bargain bin for 20 cents each today.
Well, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
Oh, you can 20 get comics
for 20 cents?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like I can't believe I got Fugitoid, like the magazine.
Oh, really? That's... I have that.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm like, that is
that's
so cool.
That's a good find. Yeah.
That's 20 cents Canadian, too.
Yeah. And it's not like really beat up or anything. Like
that's a really good find.
Like, I don't know how the grading would be, but it's got to be, I don't know, it's got to be at least very good.
Yeah. And it ties in with the new stuff a lot because they have all the future, like he's in the new stuff.
Yeah. So I was just kind of surprised that like they had a lot of different things there, and then I was like, wow, the Fugitoid. And I'm like looking, is there anything else crazy like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like there wasn't a whole lot, but there was
also have that other one where he teams up with someone, Fugitoid, and I want to say starts with G maybe.
Was that the Dave Sim?
It was a mini series, I don't remember. I don't think Dave Sim was involved though, but I could be wrong.
Well, the other one that I had to tell Andrew about was this. Mm-hmm. It's Toxic Presents Martial Law, Kingdom of the Blind by Pat Mills and Kevin O'Neill.
Yeah, they started their own. You know, he got Pat Mills got a start at 2000 AD.
Mm-hmm.
And at different times he's launched. Well, actually got a start before then, I think, in Girls Comics. Because over in England in the 70s, they actually still did, you know, comics for girls. And then they... in 2008, so he started Toxic, because when I used to go over to across the pond, as they say, when I was younger, I would pick them up sometimes, and I don't think it lasted very long, but it was fun. As I told Kevin, Accident Man was also first there, I think. That was the Pat Mills, Tony Skinner book about the hitman that has to make all the hits look like accidents.
I don't think that's in here. I think it's one continuous story, because I was kind of looking to see... It's by
lose them, I have those somewhere sitting around my old Toxics from somewhere. But I think Dark Horse ended up printing it here in the States.
Mm. I just find it's neat with these because they're like oversized. So I'm like, oh, that's like something that I never thought of like picking up and I never see. But yeah, magazine size stuff, it's like interesting. Even on just a novelty thing, I'm just like, yeah, that's cool to have.
I missed my chance on the omnibus, I think.
I bet it's around in somebody's back shelf somewhere. It's got to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they couldn't have sold that many of them.
I have like probably like maybe 10 issues of Martial Law, but I'm pretty sure I'm missing a lot. Eh?
Mm.
Well, they didn't have the omnibus is a bit misleading because it doesn't have like
the Pinhead stuff.
The Pinhead, it doesn't have the Savage Dragon crossover. Yeah, so those ones where they did it with other.
Well, those are in my 10.
So yeah, yeah. So you're ahead of the game in a way.
But I'm missing the best stuff though.
Yeah, yeah.
Best stuff, because I'll have the first issue of something, but not the rest.
Well, those are also solid. Most of those you shouldn't be paying more than a dollar for, anyways, and that's at these inflated prices. Because mm-hmm. That's the thing. We don't really have. Southern California doesn't have all those like 20-cent and quarter bins. There's a lot of. You still find the 50-cent, but it's a lot of dollar bins, which is still a pretty good deal, but not quite the same as having the five for a dollar or whatever.
Yeah, well, I have all the old Image, because there was a 25-cent Image bins at my comic store a long time ago. So that's how I got like everything from that company. Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say any of the stuff is mint or any in the bin, but it's still way above reader copies. Like, some of them are in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I keep waiting for your story. Yeah, I pulled out Amazing Fantasy 15.
No, the closest. Detective
27, you know.
Hey, Fugitoid, that's a good get.
Yeah, or like I pulled out like a Moon Knight number 1 from the 70s. Like,
whoa.
Or is that late? Is that 79? Like, it's stuff like that. Or you see whole runs sometimes. So I'm like, oh. Dang, but sometimes they're a little warped or something. Like the first 25 issues of Dreadstar, they were kind of warped on the one side, but I'm like, I don't really care.
Yeah, I'm not a snob about that sort of thing in any way. I mean, I'm just reading them. Like, there's no, I'm not going to seal it and lose sight or whatever when I'm done with it. Although I did drop a few books off. I got, for the first time ever, I decided to try and get some books graded.
Mm-hmm.
So I dropped some books off at CBC was there. CBCS. They're like, the guy that founded it used to work for CGC. So they were cheaper and have less of a backlog. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to try.
So you drop about them a month off, or so. I'll mail it to you, I guess.
Yeah. So why you do it there is you save the cost of shipping it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But you still got to pay. Obviously, it was $18 a book plus the shipping fee. So I'd be curious to see how the process.
What books did you leave?
Oh, I'm going to leave that till I get them back.
You're going to remember to give us a report, because you know this kind of shit kills me.
Well,
spoilers.
I'll tell you this. There are books I've reviewed on this podcast.
Oh.
And I've met the creators of both of them. So.
Wow. But they had to find a name that would mean something in another country, like CBC. Like, really?
Well, it's CBC.
Hey, that's ours.
I left off. Yes, sorry.
Okay. CBC is ours.
Yeah, I mean, it's CBCS.
There we go. Okay, the S.
And I mostly have CGC in my collection, but I've bought a bunch of the CBCS. My collector friends that are serious about it say have used them a little bit. I mean, sometimes you'd get a bit of a price hit, but none of the books I'm doing, I'm not doing it for investment purposes.
No, you're locking them up so you can never read them again.
Exactly. Well,
that's crazy.
I'm doing this for particular reasons that when I get the books will be eminently clear. But these may be gifts for people down the road.
Should be doing your most valuable ones.
No, I don't, because I don't really have. Well, I also don't track what's valuable in my collection.
Well, I mean, valuable even just to you, you know, like I love that Superman issue where Ambush Bug steals his cape and then jumps in the future.
Oh, I could have bought Ambush Bug.
I would get that done.
Like, they had it was Amazing Man. I think it was Amazing Man.
I like that, Amazing Man.
Yeah. So I just, I also wanted to see the process as, like, an experiment, but I'm not a big.
Oh, I thought you were a veteran to that stuff.
No, I've only bought them on auction sites and on eBay and stuff. I've never.
Actually got your own done. Okay.
Yeah, got my own done. So I was curious.
That's pretty cheap then, $18, really. Like, if it's for any book, because, like, that means if you gave, like, one of the first Spider-Mans, it'd just be $18.
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Because that must be something more, I'm sure. Like,
yeah, at least with CGC, I know those expensive books, it's based on the book. But these are not. I mean, I think they're worth millions of dollars an issue, but their market value may be closer to cover price.
Mm hmm.
Because they asked me, like, oh, so what should we insure this for? And I'm like, a cover price.
A nickel.
He's like, we'll put down $10. And I laughed a little bit. I'm like, whoa, I may want you to lose them if you do.
And then they looked at each other and whispered, I think you got it out of the 20-cent bin.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling they've never graded any of the Stu books. It's a so more obscure publishers.
We need an update on the grades and everything.
Yeah. I'll have a whole thing, but it was relatively painless procedure. Mm-hmm. But like I said, they still haven't reached the CGC. Like the line for them was bigger, they're more expensive, they're more backlog. But I like this. I think the CBCS cases look fine, and you know, and they all. Well,
it's more about too. Like, are they a respected company? Where yes.
They said, like I said, from my limited observation, is once in a while the prices are a little bit less, but generally you'll do okay, except in certain instances. So I don't feel too. And I think they're going to be around for a while, because the other big company is PGX, and I know that has some people think highly of it, and some people really don't like PGX. So that's probably the one that I didn't, and I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like they're going to be gone in a week or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everyone seemed to think that this is a good company, so I'm on board, and I will have two graded comics hopefully at some point in my life. I mean, two more than I already have.
Mm-hmm. Because you have a pretty big collection of them already, don't you?
I've, sadly, that's the one thing I've gotten into buying, particularly those, like, beat-up graded copies of Amazing Spider-Man by Steve Ditko.
That's good, though.
The first 80 and 38.
Who cares if they're beat up?
Well, that's the only ones I can afford. But even beat up, like, they're still expensive books, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, they're...
If the apocalypse happens, now I know where to go if I need to break out some comics, because they'll be protected.
Are you kidding? I'm gonna trade those things for food after.
I'll give you some cans of beans.
Come on, won't everyone want a 3.5 ASM, you know, 27 or whatever?
I don't even board and bag mine, so mine are gone.
Oh, Phil, in the post-apocalyptic future, graded comics are going to be the only currency accepted.
I hope so. It'd be a beautiful world. I think it's your turn, Andrew.
All right. Well, I always hate it when we cheat and peek behind the curtain, but Kickstarter closed today that I've been backing. And why I bring this up is I also backed their previous Kickstarter, which I have in my hot little hands. Some of you may be able to guess what this is, and it goes strictly by the number 24. Can you guys guess whose comic I'm holding in my hands?
Like the TV show? You know, it's funny. I tricked you there. It was my turn.
Oh, go ahead.
Because you just talked about all the CG stuff, too.
Don't say that.
Shh. It's too late. He started. He's got to continue. 24, you know, the TV show?
Charles Soule?
No. It's who on Kickstarter would I back?
Oh, Kickstarter, that's right.
Ditko again?
Yes. His new one, the new Mr. A one, funded today, and I'm holding in my hand number 24.
Wow.
Nice. So you've funded all 24 issues?
No.
Or is this a continuation from an old thing?
Right. I think they've only done, in the cover of this one, they say it's like their ninth Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they say it's their ninth. So, and I don't know that I've been on all nine of them, but I've been on the last few. I'm on the current one. I'm on this one. And there is some strange electric... narcissistic thrill I get of seeing my name in the back of a Steve Ditko comic.
Nice.
I will say that's about the closest I'm ever going to get to greatness.
You've never met him at a convention?
He doesn't do shows. Okay. Not that I've ever heard of. But I was talking to Scott Dunbeer about, because I always ask about it, and he said, you know, he had to get permission to, apparently one of the Rocketeer pages was half partially done by Steve Ditko, and he got his permission for it, so... So he sent him a copy, and he says he's in discussions with him about it, but I'm still holding my breath for a Ditko Artist Edition. But that was kind of heartening that he's out there making it happen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so number 24, Robin Snyder, Steve Ditko.
And how much did that put you back?
I don't remember. This was one. I back it a little bit higher, so I get with the extra tiers they throw in, like his little newsletter from years ago, an old comic. Like, you get this whole package.
Oh, so you get his recycling?
Yes. Well, no, it's the comic newsletter is something I don't know if it's just Robin Snyder or both of them worked on, but it's got little articles written from back in the day and little poems and just weird stuff in general. The problem is I'm pretty bad about tracking what I have and what I don't. So I do sometimes get duplicate. Like the new book is always new.
We know you're bad at tracking. We know.
Yeah. So I end up with all kinds of weird, but I give them the money just to give them the money because I like him. So I don't care. Mm-hmm. And any new comics is good, but I don't know what the last new Steve Ditko you guys have read is, but.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
He's gotten, it's almost like, kind of like a Greek chorus, kind of. They don't really have, so it's like a lot of panels on the page, which I like, but it's just a lot of like people kind of saying things like, but not done in captions. They're done in these balloons, like someone is hitting Big Shot, places, illegal activities. So not reported to police. Who, how, things going to boil over. Someone who is safe where. And so the story is kind of this, like I said, I can almost imagine it like a play in a way with some sort of narrator giving us or a Greek chorus, like I said. So it's a story of this guy robbing and then the hero character who's all in wearing a complete mask. But it's this, like there's a story there, but it's particularly, no one speaks maybe in regular vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I think you talked about this when you were reading some old Ditko.
Yeah, just not anything new. Like, I've tried out different things. Like, I bought that, was it a Fantagraphics collection, maybe? Of some of his different stuff.
So that's, but, so then the other story, and so there's this, the one I like is when he goes to the haunted house. Let me get to the story here. Yeah, but the cape.
It still looks like he's still drawing the same stuff from the 60s, like the fashions are.
Yes.
Like, well, it's not all updated with
no
piercings or something weird like that.
No. And like the men still wear like business hats and all that. Like, but it's you can tell it's him. And there's a lot of detail for like, you know, he's still doing, it's not a lot of splash pages. It's still a lot of like 9 panels, 6 panels, 7 panel, that sort of thing. And he puts in a surprising amount of detail. I'm very pleased. But the cape is the one I like, where it's this robber and he's got this bag of loot, you know, literally. And he goes in and he breaks into this like weird old lady's haunted house and like these spears attack him from it. And then like the statue comes to life and goes after him and he's just running afraid the whole time. And he finds the pretty woman, and then she turns into a hag. And she's like, I'm going to feed on you. And then at the end, he goes out the window, and he trips and falls and dies. And they hear a scream, and the cop comes over. And then the cop comments that the owner died empty 3 months. Like I said, that it's very, that kind of clipped speech, too. So that's my favorite. That's the last story in it. But that feels very much almost like those amazing fantasy type stories, but way less wordy. Like it's not 1,000 word balloons. So I'm excited. And 25 is supposed to be Mr. A. New Mr. A. So get on your Kickstarter, people. Steve Ditko. Oh, that one just closed. So I guess you can't get on it, but there'll be another one. No doubt coming soon.
Well, don't they usually have on each campaign, like you can get all the back issues if you pay a certain amount?
Yes. Well, but it's kind of, sometimes they're explicit. Like I said, I probably should sit down and figure out what I have and what I don't.
Yeah.
But like I said, I feel kind of like, so I paid an extra couple bucks and got something I got. Like, I think it's worth, I don't mind, you know, if I got to overpay or double buy something. Like, the cover price on this is $4. Like, I'm not going to stiff one of the all-time greats a couple of, you know, nickel and dime him. All right. Now that you tricked me, Phil, what have you got for us?
I guess he has nothing.
Well, should we wrap it up, gentlemen?
I wasn't muted. I swear. I have a triple feature. I'll kind of relate to the same thing. I read Army of Darkness, Furious Road by Dynamite, Evil Dead 2, Revenge of Hitler, which was the one and done by Scapegoat Comics or Press, and Cradle of the Damned issue 2, which is the second miniseries from Scapegoat's Evil Dead, I guess, main story.
So are these three separate comics, or like
yes, three separate? These are three separate. So I'll just do quick ones. But Cradle of the Damned number 2, like I say, this is the second miniseries. The first miniseries, I'm sure you remember, it was 3 issues, and I really loved it. I thought it was a pretty like original take, considering they weren't allowed to use certain things, you know, because they only had the Evil Dead 2 property.
Well, sometimes I think limitations can help people in a way.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, because they force you to focus on what you're limiting the toolbox, so they really got to work for it.
Mm-hmm. But the problem is the second miniseries is garbage. It has horrible art, like none of the charm, or it's a different writer too, I believe. Like it has none of the original and cool ideas that the first one had. I don't even know if it's someone who really likes Evil Dead, you know. Like it's just not worth getting. But the first one is for sure, and the first one's collected in like a little mini book. So I used to love those mini books when I was younger, like the digests, you know.
Yeah, I said the one ash can is that digest size, and that can work out all right for me.
Mm-hmm. And then so the second one by the same company is Evil Dead 2: Revenge of Hitler, which is a one shot. I guess they're going to have like a lot of these one and dones. Like the next one is him versus Dracula. But yeah, this one is where Hitler, it's as if before he died, he put like all these tattoos on him because he was all into the dark magic, you know, that so it brought him back to life in the present time. And the art is really cool. Like it's kind of like the Hellraiser scene. I don't know if you ever seen the movie Hellraiser, but when Frank's coming back to life through the floor and his like body starts forming and everything, like that's kind of like how this is. And it's all right. It's a one and done, so you don't really get a lot of story, but it's basically these demons, because Hitler escaped, these demons want Ash to basically kill him, you know, and get him back. And that's basically what you get. It's all right, but these one and dones, I think you can be kind of choosy, because like the Dracula thing, Dynamite's kind of already done that. They've had a Dracula story. So I think they should have tried and done something maybe a little more original.
Seems like everybody's had a Dracula story at this point.
Yeah. But especially this, because they want to be different than the Dynamite Army of Darkness, you know. Like in the first miniseries, they did a great job. And then there was Army of Darkness Furious Road by Dynamite, issue 1, which I thought I was going to hate because the premise is, A, it's Dynamite. And B, the premise is it's in the future, which this is my kind of story, obviously, because of that part. But it's in the future where it's as if the Deadites won and took over. So I think 20 years or 10 years, maybe. Oh, yeah, 20 years. So Ash is pretty old in this. But the reason I didn't think I'd like it is because it's like the Frankenstein monster, Ava, the vampire hunter. Like, it's all these, like a werewolf. Like, they're this team of like Mad Max type characters that are going to save the world type thing, you know? And
those don't sound like Mad Max characters. Those sound more like,
well, that's just
Universal Monster characters.
Yeah. Like I would rather this be more like Mad Max, like Ash, but like I said, I enjoyed it though. Cause, it's basically them looking for the book and they show up at this S-Mart, this like group of supernatural type warriors, because they're looking for the book so that way they can kind of reverse things and everything. And then they're at this S-Mart, they find Ash 20 years older and like in his S-Mart uniform and everything. And that's kind of where it ends. Like they're just basically they drag him along on this quest. And like not too much happens in the first issue, but I think I'll probably end up getting it because I am a sucker for the apocalyptic stuff.
I mean, even if you don't like it, you'd end up getting it.
Yeah, probably. I think it's too because I'm not really collecting a lot of Marvel and DC right now. So that's probably why I'm picking up some crappier comics, you know.
You gotta fill up that pull list.
Yeah, I probably always do that. Yeah, that's it.
Well, Kevin, do you have anything to add or should we wrap a bow on this pretty little picture?
Never let you wrap it. We're going to let him talk about Valiant for an hour.
No, I don't really have anything.
God.
All right. Well, I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in to our con talk with a little side of comics. And until Kevin stops showing up on these episodes,
then we're in trouble.
Steve, but he's left us. Keep making ours independently comic noise. A member of the Deliberate Noise Network.
Dr. Nice, our rules. Have you heard about the new band play? Listen to us, I'm sure you'll be amazed. Big fun to be hyped by everyone. It's up to you, sure they can be done. Young and old are doing it, I'm told. Just one try and you two will be sold. It's called a freak, they're doing it night and day. All that pressure got you down. As your head is spinning all around. Feel the rhythm, chant the rhyme. Come on along and have a real good time. Like the days of stomping as a boy. Now we're free. Oh, what a joy.
Boy, now we're free. Oh, what a joy.